Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable's coverage of the UK's decision to leave the European Union, a decision that has shocked Europe, shaken global markets, and pushed Prime Minister David Cameron to announce his upcoming resignation. Matthew Amerley-Walla is the host of Global with Matthew Amerley-Walla on BBC World News each weekday. As BBC US partners, WAMC reached out to their press room, and Matthew agreed to join us today to talk about the referendum of UK's membership of the European Union, or Brexit, and we welcome him to the program this morning. Matthew, thank you very much for being with us. A pleasure to have you on our program.
It's an absolute pleasure, Joe. And I mean, I'm in Brussels, and there are shockwaves just reverberating around this place. And it's been exactly the same in London today, because the domino effect has been so rapid. It's almost like the political establishment has been thrown up in the air. And we're all just now waiting to see where the pieces land, because we're into just unknown territory on so many different levels. But from the moment at 20 to 5 London time that result came in, everything has changed.
We just spoke to a guest who is in London. You are in Brussels, and you say that the shockwaves are there as well. And really, these are shockwaves around the world. I've heard this referred to as a global earthquake. Certainly, you are feeling that in Brussels. And that idea that you just alluded to, we just don't know what's coming next.
We don't even know how long it is going to take to actually negotiate this process. Just about everything that lies ahead is an unknown quantity. So we don't know who will be involved in the negotiations. We don't know how long they will take. We don't know if one of the other members of the EU might veto any deal that is eventually agreed. We don't know the terms that Britain will actually try to secure. We don't know the pushback that the EU will give. We don't know the future Prime Minister of Britain. We don't know possibly, if we get a leadership race, the leader of the British opposition, because there's been a letter of no confidence in Jeremy Corbyn. So all of the dominoes are starting to fall. And that is one of the real concerns here at the EU headquarters, that because Britain has left such a big, big player, there has the potential for others to follow suit. So you think of France. We've had from Marie Le Pen already today a call for there to be a referendum in France. You have a similar feeling in the Netherlands. You have Sweden. You have Italy. All potentially people and countries that could have referendums in the future. So you immediately see the big headline danger for the very future of the European Union, which for 40 years has only got bigger. And this, the first occasion of any country trying and successfully leaving that group.
Because in listening to the BBC coverage overnight here on WAMC, and I have been fascinated, by the way, congratulations to your whole team for the incredible coverage that you've been providing the world. But it is really fascinating because you have those countries who are also considering exiting the European Union, and you also have those countries who look at this as an opportunity to expand the European Union.
Yes, I'm talking to you underneath 28 flagpoles outside the Commission headquarters, 28 posts with 28 European flags. And, you know, they are now going to have a process where one of those is taken down, dismantled. And over the past 40 years, we've just seen expansion. And that's actually one of the criticisms, that actually it expanded too far. It took in divergent economies. And so you triggered a movement of people. So hundreds of thousands of Polish workers, for example, 800,000 moving from Poland to get work in the United Kingdom. And that has been one of the central campaigning themes, that issue of migration. British politicians, especially on the Labour side, have always been rather reluctant to talk about that whole issue. And it has grown and bubbled underneath the surface. And that is why parties like UKIP have done well over recent years. And this momentum continued to build up to the point that David Cameron felt a few years ago that the only way he could hold his party together, the only way he could fend off the threat from UKIP was to announce this referendum. Well, a couple of years down the track, and it exploded in his face, and he literally came out of the door, walked up to the cameras in Downing Street and said, I'm going to have to go. So yes. An extraordinary about turn from a man, remember, only 12 months ago, defied every poll, every conventional form of thinking to actually win an outright majority for the Conservative Party, gone in an instant.
We have had voices on this radio station this morning talking about that decision by David Cameron to hold this referendum and that it was a huge mistake. How do you look at that and see it? Was it inevitable or was it a calculated error?
Well, it was a calculated strategy. And as I was saying minutes ago, he had a threat from the UK Independence Party that was taking votes from the Conservative Party, so he had to address that. You had a rump of Conservatives in his own party that simply wouldn't accept the European position that the Conservative Party was putting forward. And in the end, the pressure of that built up to the point that he felt he had no choice but to offer up the prospect of this referendum. Now, I think when he offered it up, he thought, I can win this argument. Mm-hmm. And you saw him, he said it today, he put his head, heart and soul into the campaigning. But the moment he opened the door, the others just crashed through. And I think that is what he hadn't anticipated, were things like Boris Johnson actually joining the Leave campaign, one of his closest political allies, Michael Gove, joining the Leave campaign. And suddenly you had a campaign that, for many years was simply headed up by the UK Independence Party, suddenly was much more mainstream, tapping in to that grassroots frustration there's been. And it's a frustration, a disconnect with the political establishment. It's a disconnect in terms of the way prosperity perhaps has been shared. It's a disconnect about the pressures outside of London. And all of that has converged to actually almost box David Cameron in, and for him to get to a position where he thought he could win this, and actually it's just slipped through his fingers.
Matthew Emerly Walla is our guest this morning from BBC World News. In the moment that we have left, I'm interested in your thoughts, because obviously in the United States we have been talking a lot this morning about what this tells us and what this portends for our huge election coming up in November. Do you have a sense of the global implications of that, and if this is any indicator of the mood of the world?
I think there is something to be said for all of that, because we've seen this gradual movement develop in many countries in Europe. We're now seeing it reflected in the UK. Even the very fact that Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee, you have had an emergence over the last few years of the anti-politician. And that movement is sometimes underestimated. Certainly in America, they underestimated it. And you saw Trump steamroller candidate after candidate to emerge victorious. And similarly, you've had that in the UK. And this really is a reflection, I think, of the anti-establishment, anti-politician movement. You had virtually every mainstream politician lining up, predicting dire consequences of an exit. And yet, more than half the British electorate covered their ears and said, we don't believe you. You know, this is our gut instinct. We think this is the wrong path, and we're going to go a different way. And I think we are into new territory. Now, whether that extends to your elections coming up, you know, a whole host of factors are at play. But I think that is why Trump is there as the nominee. And I think, you know, people that write off these anti-establishment figures do so at their peril. So I think it's really fascinating to watch what is going on in so many different parts of the world.
Matthew Emerly Walla is the host of Global with Matthew Emerly Walla on BBC World News each weekday. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks to all your partners at BBC.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. Again, we will continue our coverage on the Brexit coming up in our next hour right here on the Roundtable.